Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Tom Wheeler, Executive Director of Epic. And we have a big fun show for you today. We are talking about the coal trains. We have Bruce Sylvie from Humble Trails Council here to help us unpack this. Hey, Bruce.
Hello.
Alicia Heyman of Friends of the Eel River. Hey, Alicia.
Hey, Tom.
Matt Simmons, staff attorney with Epic. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Tom.
And also joining me is Jen Kalt, executive director of Humble Baykeeper. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Tom.
And we have Colin Fisk, executive director of the Coalition for Responsible Transportation Priorities. Hey, Colin.
Hello, Tom.
Just to embarrass Colin very briefly, I understand that Thursday is his birthday. So happy birthday, Colin. And I think that everyone would do well to give him a little birthday present in the favor of or in the form of a donation to the Coalition for Responsible Transportation Priorities. And with that out of the way, let's talk about coal trains. Remember back to last fall when you may have seen in the news that a proposed coal train might be rumbling its way into Humboldt County? We have more news now. We can follow up with more information because we just had a decision come out from the Surface Transportation Board. But first, let's go way back in history and talk about this train line that comes into Humboldt County. Because if you are a recent immigrant into this county, you may not know that we have train tracks that lead into Humboldt County. We haven't had a train for over 20 years, but we do have a set of tracks. Bruce, can you tell us a little bit about these train tracks? Where do they lead to? Where do they go? What's the history of this?
Well, the train tracks go down to what they call the, you know, the National Interstate Train Connection, which is down by Vallejo, and they run down through the, you know, the Eel River Canyon, and they run all the way through downtown Santa Rosa, right through the Old Town area, and right down to Ignacio, and then it curves and heads off towards Vallejo and link up with the rest of the national train track system. So it had a lot of use back before it got embargoed in 1998. So,
you know, one of my favorite stories about the history of these tracks, I think, is really exemplary of the unstable nature of the Eel River Canyon and the inappropriate location for the tracks. When the line was first built in, oh gosh, it was either 1914 or 1912.
1914.
The inaugural run of the train was actually delayed by several hours by a huge landslide. And that's really all you need to know about how this played out for the next century.
Absolutely.
And so the infamously unstable conditions of the Eel River, were those the death knell of this train? Why don't we continue to have train service coming into Humboldt County? Bruce or whoever.
Well, I like the comment recently was on the front page of the Times Standard from the owner and founder of the parent company to the skunk train. And they, when they were trying to claim they weren't going to try and steal the line that's trying to be abandoned by the Northwest Railroad Authority, because going through the canyon was like a mud glacier. And, you know, it just is like a glacier. It's always moving. And that's what really... people died, things happened, trains ended up in the river, locomotives, all kinds of things happened along there, and it needed to be embargoed. It needed to be embargoed in 1983, but the shippers fought it, so they were able to hold on to it till 1998. Hasn't had any train since, but
I think, you know, we're clear now where the railroad tracks are. They also run around Humboldt Bay, so if folks are familiar with the Bay Trail, that's that's the same right of way that we're talking about. And I think the really exciting opportunity that is presented by this unfortunate location for a railroad is that it would make a spectacular trail. And folks have been talking about that for decades. And just in the last five or so years, Senator McGuire's office paved the way for that vision to become a reality. Listeners are probably well aware now with the concept of the Great Redwood Trail and its vision to create a 320-mile world-class multi-use trail that connects Humboldt Bay all the way down to San Francisco Bay. So as a part of creating this trail, last year, the North Coast Railroad Authority applied for rail banking, which would preserve the right-of-way and allow them to transform it into a trail. But that opened us up to a vulnerability, which is the option for other entities to take over the right-of-way. So we saw some filings with a federal agency called the Surface Transportation Board last fall that indicated that there are at least two entities interested in taking that right-of-way.
All right. So that was a lot to unpack there. So to rail bank, so to take this train track that already exists, that runs through private public land, and to turn it into a trail for, you know, bikers, walkers, hikers, whoever, we need to get permission from this entity called the Surface Transportation Board, the STB. Alicia, can you explain why we need to do this? What the heck is the STB, and what is rail banking?
I think Bruce would do a great job of answering that question. Okay.
Well, the Surface Transportation Board, which took over for the ICC, Interstate Commerce Commission, they control all these lines and keep them for the public domain. And if they don't consider the trading one of these rail corridors as permanent for trails, it's interim. And the idea is the federal people will hold on to the corridor because it might be needed for trains in the future. And in the meantime, as long as there's a viable trail organization that can afford it and can take care of it, they can have the corridor for a rail trail. And so that's what we're working on, to rail bank it. That would mean that it's just in the bank for the feds to grab anytime they want. In fact, anybody, once the Great Redwood Trail is built, if anybody came along and said, we've got a plan to run a train up there that we know is going to make money and it's going to be good for the world and blah, 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 they could, in fact, steal the trail out from under us. But we think that the mud glacier and the Eel River Canyon would probably slow people down from that.
Well, so that's an interesting point, that, you know, the law favors the rail users. This is an old set of laws, right? We're talking about laws written for another, almost a century ago, written for a different world than the one that we are currently occupying, that gives whole and total preference to freight users, to rail use of these trails, that when there is any conflict between the two, the preference almost always has to go to the use of it as a railroad, to continue its life as a railroad, instead of something that might be a higher and better use, which is a trail. So this is, as I understand it, Alicia, where these offers of financial assistance come in, right? So we have two entities who have come before the Surface Transportation Board, and they said, whoa, time out. We are rail people. We are choo-choo heads. We love trains, and we are going to maintain this line. We are going to take over this line, and we're going to put it to rail use. Is that right?
Well, and let's be real. It's not just about maintaining the line. It's about reconstructing the entire line and you know, resurrecting this zombie train, if you will, because for anyone who has rafted down the main stem of the Eel or seen portions of the line or even seen photographs, it's quite clear that there's really not much of a line to speak of anymore, because so much of it has been washed out and is just, you know, unable to cling to the cliff sides surrounding the river.
That's true. And when they rebuild, the way the rail laws are, they don't have to follow the ecology standards, like, you know, anything that like CEQA for California. They can just plow along and make a big mess and put their railroad in.
That's so right. Even holding rail operators to the standards of NEPA is a pretty heavy lift, and federal railroad law definitely does not work in our favor here.
Jen.
Well, and anyone who lives here in the Humboldt Bay Area knows that the rail corridor is pretty dilapidated, falling apart, and just imagine what it would take to build a railroad that would carry two trains back and forth along Humboldt Bay in the mud flats of Humboldt Bay and through the salt marshes.
All right. Thanks, Jen.
I think we should talk a little bit about the decision that we just saw from the Surface Transportation Board and both its kind of short-term and long-term implications. You know, what it means for projects like the Annie and Mary Trail, and then what it ultimately means for the vision of the Great Redwood Trail and, frankly, the future health of our region.
Let's do it. So we had a decision come out from the Surface Transportation Board. Why did we have a decision come out from the Surface Transportation Board? Alicia, was this a decision about these pending offers of financial assistance that people may remember back from last fall?
Kind of, yeah. So the Surface Transportation, the NCRA requested that the door be closed on offers of financial assistance, that, you know, it's totally unfeasible to rebuild a line. And so why even waste our time, you know, considering these offers? Let's just close that door and move forward with rail banking. Meanwhile, there were some other questions about whether or not a few small segments of the line actually were still a part of the right-of-way or if they had been formerly abandoned. So the Surface Transportation Board took a year issuing this decision, which was surprising and nerve-wracking for all of us, I think. And ultimately what they said is, no, we will not close the door on offers of financial assistance. Those can go ahead and come in. But they decided that the two segments of the line that were, you know, in question of whether they were still part of the right-of-way have, in fact, been abandoned already and are not part of the right-of-way. And so those two segments are a segment that goes out along the Samoa Peninsula and then the segment that connects Arcata to Blue Lake, which trail advocates have been working for a long time to build the Annie and Mary Trail on.
Let's start with those two trail segments that the Surface Transportation Board has found to be abandoned. I was nervous about this and was a little unclear, and so hopefully Bruce and Alicia can clarify for me. Is the finding of abandonment a good thing? On one hand, we can't have an offer of financial assistance to come in and effectively steal this portion, as Bruce said. So, you know, even if the Coltrane people would want that section, they can't have it now because it's already been abandoned. But if it's been abandoned, then is there any kind of retaining control by the Surface Transportation Board to be able to rail bank those sections?
No, that's the main problem, which is that once they're abandoned, once they've decided they've been previously abandoned, then they're outside the jurisdiction of the Surface Transportation Board, which is the only thing that can rail bank anything. So we're good on the Annie and Mary line to Corblex, which is at the northeast corner of Arcata, out by West Green, I think. But we're not good from Corblex to Corbell. And that's the part they claimed was previously abandoned and that they had no jurisdiction. So that's off the map for now. And it's still possible to make the line. It's just going to be much harder. We have to take it, you know, easement by easement all the way to Blue Lake. That'll take a lot of negotiating and work. And that's what rail banking, there are something like 1,300 easements between Humboldt Bay and Willits. So with rail banking, you don't have to mess with all those easements. And if someone thinks they've been harmed by that, they go to the feds. It's the federal rail banking, and California doesn't have to deal with it. Humboldt County doesn't have to deal with it. They take up their issue with the feds, and they get paid that way or get compensated that way. So it's a little bit of get out of court for free rail banking. On the other side, in Samoa, that was actually good news because the NCRA only had trackage rights to Samoa, and there was this issue from Samoa to Fairhaven of some trackage rights that were still out there, and they've decided that there aren't any trackage rights out there, which just cleans things up and makes it a little easier to move along. So they would have to purchase and build an auxiliary line or an ancillary line out to wherever that dock is. They'd have to be able to get all that property and those easements, and so they only could take the rail bank line to Samoa.
Kia News Report. We're talking about the coal train.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump back to the Annie Mary Trail discussion briefly, because I think it really highlights something that folks may not realize, which is that our regional active transportation network in the Humboldt Bay Area in particular, as it's been planned and to a certain extent as it's already been built, really relies heavily on these railroad corridors. It's been difficult to date in that many of the trails have had to be built alongside the tracks, which has made it more expensive, as opposed to, you know, after rail banking, they could be built on the railroad prism, but they have still benefited from having that right-of-way available. And I think when you look at the Annie and Mary Trail, the completion of the Humboldt Bay Trail, all these projects that are kind of the backbone of our regional active transportation network, they are all sort of at the mercy of this federal railroad law that we're dealing with now. And so I just want to emphasize how important this is from that perspective as well.
So let's, again, just dive a little bit deeper into Annie and Mary. So Bruce, is the Trails Council, are you still looking forward to trying to build this? Is there interest in doing that landowner by landowner negotiation to try to retain an easement for a pedestrian trail?
I think definitely there is, and it'll fall to the county to be the actual negotiator, and they have the perfect negotiator in Hank Seaman. He will work on that, and they are already working on the line with through a right-of-way along Caltrans on 299 to get the first part done. So, no, there's definitely going to be interest in the county is already negotiating to finish the Annie and Mary line to the number one pump station on the river, so that when the final four goes in, you should be able to ride from down at the Elk River all the way around through Eureka and into Arcata and through Arcata and all the way out to the Mad River pump station, where you'd have access to the river for swimming, and it would be a great place. So they're working on that one right now, and I don't think that's going to get held up.
And I would add to that also that segment that's within the Arcata city limits, that's sort of the most near term to construction now, is also, as I think Bruce sort of mentioned earlier, is not affected by this latest decision, thankfully. So that trail, at least connecting sort of downtown and the Cal Poly Humboldt campus with the Valley West area, all of that should be able to move forward pending more decisions.
Well, that's good to hear. We have two portions, relatively minor portions compared to the total length of the rest of the track, that have been declared abandoned. So we have that section from Samoa to Fairhaven around Humboldt Bay that's been abandoned. And we have the section which we are calling the Annie and Mary Trail, which runs out towards Blue Lake, that has been declared abandoned. The rest of the trail, what is its fate, Alicia? What do we know now about the remainder of what will hopefully be the Great Redwood Trail?
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about what we expect to see next. Actually, in just about a week, on May 31st, notices of intent to file OFAs are due to the Surface Transportation Board. So we'll know by June 1st if these two entities, which, as a reminder, those two entities are that shady, secretive LLC based out of Wyoming. I think they're called the North Coast Railroad Company, real creative name there.
Confuse you.
Yeah, trying to be sneaky there. And then the other entity is Mendocino Railway. They are the operator of the Skunk Train, which is why my tagline these days is the Skunk Train really stinks, because am I upset with what they've been doing to Fort Bragg and to the vision for the Great Redwood Trail. So we'll know by June 1st if either of those entities plan to file an OFA. And then those OFAs will be due, I believe, June 20th. If no one files a notice of intent by May 31st, then on June 19th, the rail banking process will go forward and be finished, and we can all move ahead and dream happy dreams about hiking and biking along the Eel River Canyon. And so we'll know in pretty short time how this is all going to play out. And, you know, I just want to add, this is an absurd proposal. We get that. It is hard to believe that something like this could possibly happen. And part of what allows for this process to go forth outside of state or federal environmental review is that it's all guided by federal railroad laws from the 19th century. And I think one story from our somewhat recent past that helps to illustrate how this can play out sometimes is that back in the 80s, when Southern Pacific was the owner of the railroad, they tried to embargo the line. They were going bankrupt. Things weren't going well. They were plagued by landslides all the time. And so they actually embargoed the main line between Eureka and Willits. And that was challenged by the shippers that were operating on the line. So you've got the owner who's like maintaining the infrastructure, and then they've got contracts and agreements with freight operators who use the line to ship their cargo. And so those operators said, no, you can't close this line. We still want to use it. And so then the line was basically forcibly reopened. And that's the kind of decision-making process and legal rationale that we'll see allow coal trains to run on this line.
Yeah, they had to even station a crew down there. And every time a freight train went through, they had to realign the tracks for the next freight train. It was very expensive. It was supposedly the most expensive train line in the country to operate.
That's incredible. So we will see if OFAs come out soon, offers of financial assistance come out soon. So I want everybody out there, if you're a praying folk, to say a little prayer. If not, cross your fingers and hope for the best that we don't see these come through. If we do see these come through, I want to emphasize the very antiquated nature of these laws. I think that there was a hearing with Congressman Jared Huffman recently where he was talking to a Surface Transportation Board commissioner about how the laws would play out for offers of financial assistance. And I hope that one of you can kind of recreate this conversation, because I think it shows just how the deck is stacked in favor of railroad interests in this process, and how an offer of financial assistance is maybe not a very high hurdle that one might need to clear. Bruce, it sounds like you listened to that congressional hearing. Can you give your best recreation of it?
Well, I thought the most interesting part was when Representative Huffman was trying to pin them down about what kind of financial background checks they would go through and whether they would have to prove that they could actually make a go of this, because if they rebuild the line, it's going to certainly mess up the canyon. So you would think they would want to make sure it was going to be a viable operation. And the fellow kind of turned his head to the side. He said, well, we usually let market forces control whether people go bankrupt or whatever, you know. So, and there, the old history of railroads is that sometimes they would let multiple trains have eminent domain to set up their train lines, their corridors running between the same cities, and then they just wait to see who went bankrupt. But meanwhile, those eminent domains across all that land and upset everybody and certainly messed up the environment. And then they go bankrupt, and then there it was.
Colin.
I think that really highlights, even though, as Alicia said, this proposal seems ludicrous on its face, and you know, even if there isn't enough money to rebuild and remaintain this extremely expensive and damaging, you know, segment of rail track, it's still very possible that due to these laws, the Great Redwood Trail could be delayed by a long time or even completely ended, basically, by this process, which would be, you know, a huge shame.
Yeah, and I would add too that, you know, if these entities are not ultimately successful in actually, you know, rebuilding the line to the point where they can run coal trains along it, just the actions in trying to rebuild the line are going to be incredibly damaging to the Eel River Canyon. There are a number of small tributaries that have been blocked and filled in with sediment to establish railroad crossings. There's a lot of sediment that bleeds into the watershed from, you know, just from keeping that in place and having lots of construction there. And then there's the hazardous waste sites that have been identified from years of this industrial activity in the canyon. So it's just, it's not just the, like, there's a number of threats to our natural landscape. Obviously, coal transportation is the ultimate big one, but there's a lot of other things to be concerned about in this process.
If we do get an offer of financial assistance, it does appear that we might be able to peek behind the curtain a little bit more.
Yes.
One point that Congressman Huffman raised was that, you know, we've heard about some group. We think that they might have coal money. They're not very forthright about who they are or who are their capital funders, if they do have any. And I'm concerned. The commissioner who was testifying said, well, you know, we would want a full and complete application, and we would want it to be public who is proposing to take over your train line. So it might be that we learn a bit more about the nature of this threat if we do see an offer of financial assistance. I mean, that's kind of like, what is the folksy analogy to use here, where it's like a very small victory, but it comes with a lot of pain.
And, you know, I would add to a small note of hope and optimism in that conversation that Huffman was having with the chair of the STB. He kind of reluctantly acknowledged that, yes, the Surface Transportation Board does take into consideration public opinion and a variety of other things. And I think we should hold them to that and make the public opinion heard very loud and clearly.
Absolutely. And let's talk about how people can learn more about this coal train threat and how they can engage in this issue. Alicia, Friends of the Eel River, hats off to Friends of the Eel River for being the quarterback of our motley crew, our No Coal in Humboldt Coalition. Can you tell us about the coalition and where people can find out more information and how to engage in the STB process, if they so desire?
Yeah, you can check out nocoalhumboldt.org. You can sign up for e-news alerts. We will not spam you. In fact, we haven't sent out an email for quite a little while, but we've got one coming soon. And there you can also see all the different member organizations that are supporting this resistance to bringing coal to our community. There's a variety of organized labor and representative faith-based groups, lots of environmental groups, transportation advocates, healthcare workers. You know, it's really anybody who cares about having clean air and clean water and likes trails, which are all pretty easy things to get behind.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we will probably have a show again in not very much time, because we'll find out soon if we are likely to see offers of financial assistance. So stay tuned. Continue to watch your news feeds on Facebook. Follow Friends of the Eel River, Humble Bay Keeper, Humble Trails Council, Coalition for Responsible Transportation Priorities, North Coast Environmental Center, EPIC. To stay on top of local environmental news, and tune in again on this time and channel next week for more environmental news from the North Coast of California. Thanks to all of my guests today for joining me in this conversation about the coal train threat, and have a lovely day, everyone.